Welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
This is our movie review special of Joker.
The review of Joker.
Joker, the movie, the review.
There's a lot of those in there.
Yes.
But not the Joker, just Joker.
Hilarious.
That's creepy.
Patrick,
you want to start us off with your general thoughts before we get into a deep dive on how this movie made us feel and hate life?
Yeah, I went into this movie. I knew for a fact going into this that this is going to be everything that I love in cinema, and it was. I went and told people afterwards that without spoiling anything, without spoiling anything, I told everybody that it is not a superhero movie, it is not a comic book movie, it's an indie character study drama. That's simply what it is. So people going in there who are comic book fans or superhero fans might be sorely disappointed because it does not follow any of those tropes or standard deviations or anything like that. But it is an incredible film, directing-wise, acting-wise. Obviously, people have been abuzz about Joaquin Phoenix and Todd Phillips, respectively, and for good reason.
I don't remember who I was talking to, but someone told me they didn't like Joaquin Phoenix, and I was like, I mean,
I don't like you.
It wasn't even necessarily that. I was
not to bury the lead, he's my least favorite on-screen version of his character.
Oh, no.
I don't think his I think his performance is brilliant, but he's my least favorite version of this character.
Well, because it's not a comic book movie.
He's not playing. Well, this is more deep dive. I guess since I'm talking already, I'll get into my thoughts on the movie are, this is brilliant filmmaking. It's very easy to recognize brilliant filmmaking. I think that, to me, the messages were very clear, and there were some really interesting, deliberate character choices for the supporting cast of Arthur Fleck. But it's a movie that I don't know that I ever need to see again. Like, it's not a movie I enjoyed, per se.
I was
but
uncomfortable.
But it's a good movie. It's a
good movie. I was just super fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because Andy was like, we went and saw it Tuesday morning, like a week ago, and she's like, are you okay? You're checking your phone a lot. I was like, I was just very, very uncomfortable, and I didn't know how to handle it because I can't just like get up and walk away. I'm in a movie theater.
I went to go see it with my good friend Kylie. Shouts out to Kylie.
Hey, Kylie.
She was also an English major as well, so we just enjoy like parsing apart to death like films and stuff. And also, she has she's lived with bipolar for her whole life, So she, like, it was really kind of funny and kind of, like, terrifying because, like, was it the scene when he kills, like, his coworker or whatever with the scissors?
Oh, yeah.
In the beginning when he's talking, he's like, I've stopped taking my medication and I feel better than ever. Like, she's straight up, like, horror movie, like, gasped, like, hands in front of mouth.
Yeah.
Like, don't go in there.
you use that term. Use the term just now. In many ways, this is an art house horror film. I mean, we're watching literally the degradation of the horror movie villain, like as it's happening, like as he becomes the villain in the horror films. Which, as a storytelling concept, I really enjoyed. That I enjoyed. I enjoyed the fact that that's what we were watching. But it's a tough watch. I mean, like that's not.
So before we get into I just wanted to ask, did it happen? Did the movie happen? Do you guys think it happened?
No, I don't think it did either. I think that
that's how he would like it to happen.
Yeah, like I think he's blowing up an event in his story. Like he I think there was elements of the story that actually happened as he's going through it with the psychologist at the end. But I don't know if the rest of it happened. That's a really, like, it's an interesting thing, because there's elements in the story I do wish did happen. Some of the ties to the Batman universe I actually really enjoyed from a, like, having them be tangential to the story, so.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, the thing that made me laugh super hard is everybody was, like, there were all the articles about how this is just going to incite people and this, that, and the other thing. And literally the end of the movie is, he's like, I'm not a political figure. I'm not an idol. I'm just a dude. And I was like,
that was overall, even saying. To me, so we're
don't we're, follow him.
we're kind of playing fast and loose with the way that we're going to approach the different elements of this movie. So, so now that we're in that discussion, for me, the message of the movie, and, you know, obviously tell me I'm crazy, was that leaders in general are bad, and you need to pay attention to who you follow. Because if you follow somebody blindly without actually knowing their message, you literally are putting a mask on and you're just a clown. But at the same time, if you follow the figures that present themselves well and put themselves in a business suit, then you're crushing the little people. So, like, it's paying attention to who you follow and really knowing all of the sides. And they, like, and it was the most obvious visual presentation. Like, it was almost like the internet itself was wearing clown masks yelling, yay, the Joker's awesome! It's like, wait a minute, no, he's not. Like, this guy is not a good person, yet we're just following him based on a single accident that happened that was a terrible event. So.
I don't know if y'all were kind of getting this vibe, but, like, the way they were portraying the talk show was essentially, like, Instagram influencers, like, portraying this version of life that's, like, ideal and something to strive for, and everybody who sees this and wants to aspire to this is going down a terrible, stupid path, because this is not real life. This is a TV show that's curated to be entertainment, but he doesn't realize that, because to him, like, this is his whole world.
Yeah, this is so
I was real. Getting some vibes of the mom from Requiem for a Dream. If you've ever seen that movie, she wants to go on the TV show so bad.
Okay.
And that she gets, like, addicted to weight loss drugs. Because, you know, the camera adds 10 pounds. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Another terrible movie that's amazing that you should only ever watch once.
There's a couple good movies out there like that.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was really interesting going back to the like, Messiah, I guess we'll call it for this, because there's some very strong Jesus imagery in the end.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, Kat, he specifically says that he's not political and he doesn't do this for anything. And we can believe that. Like,
I heard somebody else
doesn't know anything.
Who kind of reviewed it for me, talk about how, like, use the quote from one of the other movies, you know, he's just a dog chasing cars. He wouldn't know what to do with one if he ever caught one.
Exactly. And, like, when Heath Ledger says that, though, in The Dark Knight, I don't believe him, because this guy has, like, plans on plans on plans.
Right.
But when Arthur Fleck says that he's not political, like, this guy can barely... This guy is, like, barely breaking level 2 of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. He doesn't, like, he's barely surviving, like, physically. So, like, he does not have time to, like, enlighten himself and self-actualize in those other things, so.
So, you never really answered your own question that you posed to us a couple minutes ago, was, do you think it happened?
I personally like to think that it didn't happen, but I also think that that's a beauty of it, is because it kind of forces you to pick a delusion.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that it's real or not? And I personally prefer to think that it's not real, even though it very clearly might have been.
It's interesting. It's an interesting
thought.
Well,
that's the big thing, is, like, because at the very end of it, because I forgot what Andy said to me. She said something a lot. She said she thought it was okay, and I was like, you don't get it. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, the joke is he's not crazy. That's the joke. That's why I don't think it happened.
Oh, you don't think he's crazy?
No.
Oh.
That's a read I have not gotten.
You think that's criminal sanity?
Mm-hmm.
To,
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting.
Wow.
I think he likes to tell stories, which is... Because it honestly makes me think a little bit of, which Nat hasn't read yet, it makes me think of the John Carpenter, You're the Villain Joker, a little bit sometimes.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, I don't think it's crazy.
That perspective makes me like his Joker more.
The whole thing is like the elements of a showman in it and stuff like that, like even though he's not getting... And he laughs, he's still trying to be... I don't think he's crazy.
So you think that, like, using the whole Wayne family angle was, like, a storytelling thing to give him empathy while he's telling the story?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great read. That's, like, that makes... I didn't get that read on it, and now I want to rewatch the movie with, like, that kind of...
That's how I kind of went into the movie, is, like, how it was saying that he... I mean... I don't think when he was sitting there at all, too, when I was kind of, like, and I know it was a very short clip, he didn't laugh or anything like that, he didn't have any of his issues, he just kind of sat there, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's not crazy, he's just acts it, like, normal.
So this is Joker that we know from the comics telling a story in a psychiatric ward,
mm-hmm.
in Arkham Asylum, and then killing the person he's telling
that sounds
the story
like
to.
A literal thing he would do.
That does sound like that. That is very comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Which the movie itself, and that was, you know, that's a different point that we'll go into later.
Because the biggest thing is too is like he seems to have like mm-hmm. a hard time like not laughing, like laughing when he's upset or stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And like I understand in reality, even people who are crazy. They would still have some sort of reaction to killing people, and he didn't. Like, he immediately stopped laughing, and he just runs, and I'm like, that's a pretty normal human reaction if you don't have any mental issues.
Wait, which instance are you talking about? Like
when he shot the three kids.
When he shot the three, okay.
But he only runs after he kills the third person, because he kills the first two mm-hmm. pretty quickly, and then he hunts down the third guy and shoots him on the, like, stairs, like... Mm-hmm. You see this, like, it's kind of a chase scene,
mm-hmm.
almost, like...
He was just really methodical, and I'm like, that's for a dude who's not, or for a dude who's crazy.
Well, like, but, like, he fixates, though, like, he fixates a lot on things, so, like, has the kind of, like, delusion that makes it seem like once he killed those first two people, then he has to finish this task that he started, like... I mean, you see that, like, when he's chasing down the kids that steal his sign, too, like, he doesn't, like, think through these steps. He's only thinking, like, I need to get the sign back.
Yeah.
Like, he's not, like, I don't know. I don't think he's, like, capable of this master planning kind of
I don't
of
think
stuff.
It was a master planning. I just, it's kind of one
planning
of...
planning in general.
I don't think it's master planning. It's... I mean,
well, from your perspective, you would say that that's just part of the story he's telling. It punches it up more to have somebody run away.
Yeah,
because
then he has to run after them,
mm-hmm.
and I
it
totally
makes it
agree.
More cinematic and it makes it more dramatic. And he's I'm a tiny showman.
No, I
and
think,
that's all he wants to be.
Yeah, and I think your reading of that is absolutely on the nose. Like this is just like this movie is the definition of an unreliable narrator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like because. I mean, like, he inserts himself into literally the whole movie, except for one very particular scene, you know. I don't know if you guys noticed the one scene that he's not present in.
Is the murdering of the Waynes.
Yep, the murdering of the Waynes.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I didn't put together that that's the one scene he's not present in, but...
Even yeah. the flashback with his mom in the psych ward, he's there in the room, like,
that's
watching
true.
This stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, so we don't know if that... is a real thing, like...
Yeah, that does beg into question, then, like, what... If that's part of the story he's telling, why is he not part of it, and why are we seeing that?
Either that, or he's the dude in the mask.
He's not, though, because the guy does not have makeup on.
Well, no. Like, in his head, he's the dude in the mask.
Oh, as he's telling the story, he's the guy in the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but then why wouldn't he just put himself in there instead of having
Because he's on
else?
The car at that point
yeah.
in time. He's being, like, the deified moment is happening right mm-hmm. there.
Okay,
the
but
time.
he wants to be in two places mm-hmm. at once
right.
kind of thing. Nice.
Yeah.
So he allows himself to be... That's a really interesting take. I also, like, that was one of the elements of the movie I really, really enjoyed because it was a take on the Wayne's deaths that works really well to have a giant riot that's happening during the movie. They have to leave because of the rioting, and then my take on that was a hired gun that was literally waiting for the Waynes, that was taking advantage of the scenario. Somebody said one of the mob bosses said, "Hey, Waynes are here. This riot is happening. Wait outside the theater. Get them when they're out." Yeah. Like, and took advantage of, it's a mob hit that's happening in the middle of all this chaos. No one would know. It's just incidental thing happens. These dudes in the clown masks, boom. But it's a hired kill.
Sorry, I'm over here laughing because I'm pretty sure I remember you specifically a few months ago saying, if you see one more goddamn pearl bounce off the sidewalk, you're gonna lose your shit.
In the Batman movie. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see.
Oh, was it the Batman movie?
Yes, okay. I do not want to see that.
I thought you were talking about the Joker, so I was like, never mind. I'm mixing my Batman.
Yeah. Which I would like to get into if we have the time, is like the idea of this Joker being in another film. So.
Yeah. I think it would be, sort of going back to what we were talking about before with him being deified on the car hood and also like social media or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was super interesting and him not being political that he essentially creates this movement that he has no idea what it is, mm-hmm. and therefore everybody who ascribes to this really doesn't have any clear cut reasons for doing anything.
It's social media.
And then, yeah, exactly.
It is the mob mentality of social media. It was like the perfect representation.
Yeah. And he's clueless and creates a movement that's clueless. And then anybody in the movement really just describes whatever ideology they need to him because he is a blank slate.
Yeah.
Of like, ideology, I guess.
Yeah, it's reading the headline and making an opinion based on the headline.
Yeah, yes, that's perfect.
And like, that was so clear to me as I was watching the movie. But then it's like, your opposite of that is to go to the other side, and it's like, well, okay, here's Thomas Wayne who's talking about cleaning up Gotham, and it's like, yeah, but he's a fucking asshole, and he's completely saying those who can't financially survive in Gotham don't need to survive. It's, who cares? Let's cut funding to all these things we don't need. So it was that going back to following, like, pay attention to who you follow. Watch and read and really make formed decisions. Don't read the headline and make that the thing that you ascribe to.
Changing notes.
Yeah.
Did either of you also notice that the only groups of people that did not negatively notice him were women and children?
I thought it was all minorities were definitely like all
I
of the people.
The kids in the beginning
the kids in the beginning, and I think that's
they're not kids, they're like teenagers.
They're teens. But
yeah.
there's a message of adolescence and forgiveness of the things that we do when...
See, you're so nice about it. I'm like, no, kick that kid's ass. He fucking just wailed him with a sign.
Right, and that's like... but he himself was like, they're just kids.
Yeah.
Like, and he makes that statement later, because it's... I think that goes back to like an analytic of his youth. Like, he got... beat as a child, so there's kind of this like he doesn't feel the same level of remorse, and that is the only time any sort of minority character is used as a negative. The minority characters are always the positive influences in his life.
Wait, when were they negative? Sorry, that was
just the when they attack him and steal the sign, like the kids that
I don't even remember, like, yeah, but there's a Zazie Beetz, mm-hmm. I forget her name in the movie.
Right.
His counselor, and then like
his LP.
She ended up being a really negative force at the end of that, though.
Because
she told him that they're closing and everything.
But she wasn't negative to him.
Yeah.
She was saying, "Fuck it, Arthur. You're right. They don't care about people like us."
And then, yeah, even the woman on the bus,
yeah,
with her kid, like. She's like, stop messing with my kids, but like, that's not really not, no, a she's negative not, yeah. thing. But, like, compare that to Robert De Niro.
Yeah,
and, or... Thomas Wayne.
Thomas Wayne punching him in the face.
Yeah.
See, I thought Robert De Niro was trying to be a conscience. Because when he says, I killed people, and he's like, what, you think that's okay? That's not okay.
Yeah, but the whole genesis of Robert De Niro's character getting him on the show is to laugh at him.
Yeah, he had him on there as a punchline.
Yeah, literally, like, his whole motivation is to bring this guy on so that he can get more views so that the whole world can make fun of him.
Yeah.
I mean... Something might start as something bad, but it can't turn in, you know, the attempt after that was to say, hey.
Well, that's because now he's panicking.
Yeah.
Because now you have a person that's 3 feet from you that just admitted to killing two people in cold blood on the subway.
Yeah. And
I don't
that's,
know, I agree with that.
Yeah, no, that's, well, that's when his, like you were saying, that's when he starts to break, like he's like sitting there, he has like all of this power, all of this privilege, all of this. What have you, everything, and then, like, yeah, it's...
And his intent going in was to kill himself on camera.
Yeah.
I mean, he's literally practicing the act of making a joke and then shooting himself in the head.
I kind of just read that as misdirection, actually.
Really? No, I think that was what he intended to do.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that was, like, literally he wanted to... Since everybody's watching and they're laughing at him, he's going to give them something to laugh at.
Yeah, I can see that.
So... But in the moment, and once again, this is if any of it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way he portrayed
this
story.
So the thing is, at the very end, you know, what are you laughing at? And he's like, just a joke. And I'm like, yeah, that would be, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a joke I thought of.
Yeah. I was like, that would be or someone's.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Something along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, it mentioned something like I just
thought. Well, we talked about the, before recording the scene in the apartment with the door chain.
Oh my god. Oh.
And once again, talking about positive influences or somebody that wasn't a negative was his little person friend and other clown who he lets escape in that moment because he was a genuine person to him the whole story.
Yeah.
At no point in time does he try to abuse him or try to utilize
him. As opposed to his other coworker who is a regular straight white male who gives him the gun, which essentially initiates this whole story.
Yep.
What is it? Oh my gosh. If you introduce a gun, it has to go off.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The perfect,
Arkham's razor.
Check off.
Well, I mean, the other part of that is, though, is it's like part of me wonders if he felt bad at all. Like, I understand he gave him a gun, but he also just got his ass handed to him.
I don't think he would have felt bad if Joaquin Phoenix didn't attack him.
Yeah.
That's
if
the whole
he,
thing.
Yeah, if he would have gotten arrested and the whole thing, he would have been like, yep, that's what he deserved. He took a gun and brought it to a child's event and all that.
I mean, he says it like verbatim when he's on the show. He's like, if you saw me dying in the street, you would just walk over me.
Yeah. Which is funny. That's a parallel to my favorite comic book movie with, Into the Spider-Verse when they fall on the ground. Thanks, New York.
Oh.
Everybody just walks right over him.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, the chain on the door though, like being, just that whole idea of being like trapped.
That was...
And without, like, anything, like,
oh.
I mean, going to probably what's gonna, like, I feel like is one of the most iconic scenes in the movie, but the fridge scene, when he crawls into the refrigerator and literally shuts himself inside of this box, this cold, dark box, to, you know, if you want to get, like, you really can't get more on point with, like, symbolism than that.
Yeah, that's a weird sequence.
Definitely, yeah.
Like...
Yeah, and apparently it was improvised.
I think
I mentioned that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your guys' read? If we're thinking that the whole thing is a story, then what was the purpose of the relationship angle? Like, and that not being true and revealed to us as not being true?
Oh, the one good thing I had in my life is just trash like everything else.
Oh, that's just, like, as part of the story.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The one good thing he had, which was a little bit of normalcy, and that was the thing is when I saw it, the one thing that I picked up on really quickly is you never saw her daughter, and I'm like, I don't think this is real.
And I feel like if you are trying, like, going back to, like, this as being a story, if you're trying to convince the person you're talking to that you're delusional, mm-hmm. yeah. like, what better way than to actually, like, give them this real gotcha. Delusion that, like, and what's more delusional than just, like, talking to your neighbor once and then just, like, imagining an entire relationship mm-hmm. with this person?
The way that that would, like, have read out would be, like, he gets to a point in the story, it's like, but all those moments with her, they were never real. She was never there.
Yeah, and he's just like, well, that's... And then I realized that I was still alone.
Mm-hmm. She was okay.
Or well, yeah, because like the in theory, the people, like, you find out his mom was crazy.
Yeah.
And then you find out that he's going crazy. Like, the other woman in his life who was around, who was supposed to help and take care of him,
yeah,
wasn't real.
This is an interesting thing, too, to talk about his mom being crazy. It also it played into that we don't really have the Joker's origin story still mm-hmm. because he's not Arthur Fleck. That was a name that was given to him in adoption. We don't know who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't know who he is.
So, yeah, apparently...
And he's also not a Wayne, so it's like...
Yeah, he's definitely not a Wayne, or maybe not a Wayne. Actually, he might be the guy's kid, but he doesn't want to say it.
I don't think he is. Well, I mean, if we take the story as actually something that happened, that punches it up really funny, like, in a story to be like, yes, and I was actually Bruce Wayne's half-brother.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because, like, his mom, like, suffers from severe... mental illness. Yeah. I forget what they said.
She's delusional.
Yeah, so it's a lot of his similar conditions, which I keep forgetting that he was adopted because right. I was like thinking about this, like, you know, passing down this stuff, but like biologically.
Right.
And then, but yeah, he is adopted, even though he does suffer from, like, similar conditions.
He also gets
as his
beat
mom.
As a kid. So
or,
yeah, and,
it,
this
and when
also,
he was, like, a
though,
baby, too.
This plays into your theory about it being a story, is if he emulated the experiences he had watching his adopted mother mm-hmm. as a good baseline for how to fool people into believing that he's sick.
Which is true.
That's like, you know, that he sees it his entire
life.
See,
I just got a 55-inch TV, and I'm like, I'm not buying this movie in 4K. I don't need to see this shit 4K.
Right. I need to sit on it for a minute before I rewatch it, but I definitely want to rewatch it. And I honestly think that, and I'm not mad about this at all, but I think it would have been an equally good movie if they had not attached any of the Batman like mythology to it and just made it a movie called Arthur.
Yeah.
And but
they put butts in seat by slapping the Joker mm-hmm. label on. And I think that's what for me the movie was conceived as what you were saying.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly why I think they did this, and it does add a nice extra depth, but I don't think it was necessary, but I think it was necessary for as many people as possible to watch this movie, yeah. And I'm not mad about their blatant, like, marketing.
I mean, DC's going to be a part of it. They're like, okay, we don't make a lot of money on movies, so yeah. What are we going to do?
Right, seriously, let's make a movie for $70 million and then make almost $1 billion off of it. So.
And, like, and this is what I've been saying the whole time, is let's just take these characters and make out of continuity genre.
That's literally their strongest
films.
Point.
Yeah.
I keep saying it in the comics itself, too. Mm-hmm. Like, continuity is problematic
yeah.
at times. So.
Exactly. Let's just
Black
keep
Label.
Doing this. Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't even need to be this dramatic or gritty or dark.
No, but unique takes from a singular vision of a character.
Thank you. Thank you. That's all we need. DC, please, more. Yeah.
Well, stay and do what you're good at.
Yeah.
And leave the directors and creators alone.
Exactly.
Yeah, seriously. Don't make a 2-hour time limit on the movies. Yeah.
Your job is to greenlight movies and to provide budgeting.
Yeah.
That is it.
Exactly.
All right. Well, cool. I'm generally positive, I guess.
Good movie.
It's positive in the fact that it was great. I don't want to watch it again. I'm uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable.
Stop touching me. all right. Well, I guess with that, let's go ahead and sign off then.